This morning's lesson is entitled, Because He Lives. And it is estimated there is over 4,000 religions in the world. Some of these range from new religious movements founded in the 21st century to ancient faiths originating thousands of years ago. Yet nearly all of them have one major thing in common. You can visit the tomb of their founder. Muhammad is buried in the Mosque of the Prophet, located in the city of Medina, Saudi Arabia. When the Buddha died, his remains were cremated, and what is to believe his single surviving tooth was placed in a tomb of the tomb shrine located in Sri Lanka. Krishna, a semi-legendary founder figure in Hinduism, is said to have died in Bhaka Tekra, India. Some stories related to the Jagannath temple in Puri suggest that Krishna's heart was preserved and placed within the idol of Jagannath. Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, was buried in the Smith Cemetery in Nauvoo, Illinois. It is believed that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem is Christ's traditional burial site. Nearly 4 million people visit this church on a yearly basis, but inside is nothing. It's simply an empty tomb. This is the essential difference between Christianity and the rest of the world's religions. We have a living Savior. Our Savior is risen. We have witnesses to His resurrection and ascension into heaven, recorded for us in the first chapter of Acts. Jesus has no eternal resting place on earth. You can't find Christ's remains or any of His bones anywhere on earth, because unlike all these other religions founders, Jesus is not dead. In fact, He lives. And because He lives, we can truly have confidence in our hope. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus told His disciples in John 14, chapter, verse 19, A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. We just sang an old hymn, Because He Lives, that teaches us six great lessons about Christ's resurrection. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear should be gone. Because He lives, we know He holds the future. Because He lives, life is worth living. Because He lives, He makes all the difference in our lives. And because He lives, we can face tomorrow. However, one of our greatest fears is the fear of the unknown. This is why we fear the future. It's because we don't like the unknown. We want to know what is happening, why it's happening, and we want to know the end result. We have this innate fear of what may come. In fact, the unknown can drive us to madness. Horror writer H.P. Lovecraft had this to say, The oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear. And the oldest and strongest kind of fear is the fear of the unknown. Fear of the unknown will consume us if we will let it. How many of us would love to know what our future holds? How many would find a great peace within our hearts if they knew all trials would work out in the end? When we look at men who face incredible challenges in their lives and the unimaginable amounts of stress that they faced, how much easier would it have been on their minds if they had known that they would triumph? How much more sleep would Winston Churchill have gotten at night if he knew that the United Kingdom would win over Germany? What the unknown and the future brings us is the opportunity for adversity in all of its forms. From our family, our personal lives, our professional lives, and even our spiritual lives. Whatever form of adversity we fear is essentially for us to know we can overcome through Christ. How does Christ help us face adversity and the unknown? Knowing Christ is our strength. For Paul said in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 12 through 13, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Knowing Christ helps us to endure. In 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, verses 11 through 13, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Knowing Christ helps us triumph. John wrote in 1 John 5th chapter and verses 3 through 5, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? There are great many things that we can be afraid of. There is the fear of spiders. There is claustrophobia, which is the fear of spaces. And there is a famous fear of clowns. Yet all phobias and fears and anxieties come down to one common fear, and that is the fear of death. Why do we fear death? What might keep both a Christian and an agnostic up at night? It is the fear of judgment. The agnostic is not sure if there's a God or not. But what they fear the most, just as we can, is knowing that there is a all-powerful God seated at the throne of judgment. Paul wrote in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, for this reason also God highly esteemed him, which is Christ, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to the glory of God, to the Father. And in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. How does Jesus help us face death? Christ overcame death. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verses 55 and 57, the Apostle Paul wrote, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 100 years ago, polio was one of the greatest killers in the world. Now it is nearly extinct. Earlier than that was the Black Plague. Now it's virtually unheard of and easily cured. Today, some of the greatest medical epidemics to man are cancer and HIV. It would be no surprise if in a few years these diseases would also be cured or be so rare that hardly anyone gets sick from them anymore. As you know, even COVID is not what it was just a few years ago. There is one ailment that man will not be able to cure, and that is his sin. Our sin separates us from God, creating an eternal death. Our sin can only be forgiven by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus. Death has no cure. There is only one man who has overcome death, and only through him can we be saved from sin and death. With Christ, death has no power over us. In John 11, chapter and verses 25 through 26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and verses 9 through 11, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by his Spirit of our God." Do we believe this? Do we have our hope in Christ, in that if we believe in him, and if we trust him and obey him, death has no power over us? He has promised us the gift of eternal life. Christ turns death into a promise of hope. Paul knew that death was scary, even to Christians, which is why he wrote these comforting words in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God, and the dead will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And this, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Because he lives, we know who holds the future. Christ, the ruler of the future. Jesus has an exclusive position now in heaven. Not only is he reigning above, but all, he is literally in control of the future. Christ has power above all. In Ephesians, first chapter, verses 19 through 21. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the workings of his mighty power which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also which is to come." Christ created the universe. In John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus has the power. Jesus has the authority. Christ will bring judgment to his enemies. In Psalm 110, verse 1, it is written, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool." God placed the current authorities in his power. Paul tells us in Romans 13th chapter, verse 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." God can just as easily remove them from authority. For we're told in Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel, the second chapter, in verse 21. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. We should fear God and not man. In Matthew 10th chapter, in verse 28, we're told, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." We need to fear the one who can destroy our soul and not just our body. We have this assurance in Christ. The Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 5 through 6, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Kingdoms of God may rise and fall, but only God's kingdom is eternal. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 12, verse 28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Because he lives, life is worth living. Without Jesus, life is ultimately without purpose." Ecclesiastes writer in chapter 1, verse 2 through 3 writes, "Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Without God, what feat or purpose in life has meaning? What heroic effort of life is eternal? Our gold will be spent, our buildings will fall, our bodies will perish. On earth, after a few hundred years, the memory of our accomplishments will not be remembered. Without Christ, there is ultimately nothing that we can live for that will matter. This is why people have become so depressed in recent times. And it is sad to realize, realization that without God, life has no meaning or purpose. But Christ gives life a purpose. With Jesus, we can now have something far greater to live for. Not for earthly rewards or riches, but heaven itself. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 3rd chapter in verse 14, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And Peter wrote in 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 3 through 5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Also in Revelation 21st chapter, verses 3 through 5, John wrote, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away all tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." What makes Christianity so great is that our founder was not just some mortal man. Our founder is not buried under some tomb or shrine. Our founder is the Son of God, and he lives in heaven above. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow, for all fear is gone. We know he holds the future, and life is worth the living because Jesus Christ lives. And because Jesus lives, we can truly start living. If you are not a Christian, can you truly live like it's worth the living? Do you know who holds the future? Is your fear gone? Can you face tomorrow? Only with Christ you can. If you're not in Christ, you do not have these blessings. If you do not know what it means to put on Christ or to be in Christ, we need to talk about this. If you're not in Christ and want to be in Christ and have these blessings, or if you want the prayers of the saints here, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.